Tonight's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 21 to 41. This is the word of the Lord. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome. And when he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. This is God's word. Father, we pray over the next few minutes as we think about the enormity of this scene, that the depth of your love for us would be on display. That of all the things that we would see from this passage, that we would see that it was love that drove you to the cross to give of yourself for us. May that truth ring true in our hearts afresh this evening. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So I have to confess that I can have a lot of trouble at times responding to messages. In fact, if you're in the room and you've sent me an email or a text message and I have not responded as quickly as I should have, my apologies to you. Part of it is I think the sheer volume of messages that we often get in our culture. I mean, when I was a kid, you wanted to talk to somebody, you gave them a call on the phone. Now you can give them a call on the phone, you can send them a text message. I have three different email addresses. You can message people through social media. There's so many ways to get multiple messages so often in life that I frankly have a hard time keeping track of them. But as I come to our passage this morning, I want us, there's a lot of messages here. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of things to pay attention to. But there's really three messages that I want us to see afresh from our passage this evening, that this passage being, of course, the central event of the Christian story. And the first message is really depicted by the sign that was hung above Jesus on the cross. It says in verse 26, "And the inscription of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.'" Years ago, I remember reading a story about the U.S. military when we were having heavy operations in Afghanistan. And the story talked about a bomb that was decided to be dropped in Afghanistan, and they called the bomb the mother of all bombs. You know, if they call it that, it's going to be pretty serious. And they said in the story that the bomb was 30 feet long and it weighed 2,000 pounds. 30 feet long and 2,000 pounds. And the article was speculating, why on earth would we decide to drop a bomb like this? What is the intent when it comes to dropping something like this on an enemy? And of course, the intent is far more than just destruction. The intent is to send a message. Well, in the Roman world in which the crucifixion took place, the crucifixion itself had a civil intent for the Romans. It was used by them to execute the worst of criminals, but it was also used in order to send a message. Crucifixion was public. It was a theatrical spectacle that was used to execute the most serious of criminals, and it was used to strike fear in anyone else who witnessed it. And it was effective in doing so. Most crucifixions would take days. For days, a criminal would hang on the cross naked. Those who passed by there for the spectacle would mock and they would jeer. And then the criminal eventually would die of a combination of exhaustion and asphyxiation, unable to pull themselves up in order to breathe. They would intentionally be hung very low so that dogs could feed upon their flesh and so that vultures could feed on their wounds as well. It was one of the most heinous and painful ways to die ever invented by humanity. A criminal's crime would be placed above their heads, and in Jesus' case, Mark tells us, the words King of the Jews was put above Jesus. It was this crime, in quotes, that made the Jews so angry. The Jews wanted Jesus gone because of who he claimed he was. Pilate was willing to put the sign above Jesus' head to highlight his crime, but also to sort of stick it to the Jews because he was back and forth about the idea of this crucifixion. Now, the tragic irony of all of it is that Jesus was indeed a king. He wasn't just a king of the Jews. He wasn't just the king of the Romans. He wasn't just some earthly king. He was the king of all creation. He was God in the flesh. And this moment now, he sits on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But of course, in this moment, he didn't look very much like a king, or at least any king that we've ever seen. Because in this moment, he wasn't just a king, but he was also a savior. Another message to pay attention to in this scene is a message that comes directly from Jesus himself, the words of our Savior in verse 34. It says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried and with a loud voice said, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus was raised as a good Jewish boy. And because of that, he'd memorized a lot of the Psalms that we have even in our scriptures. Maybe he even memorized all of them throughout his childhood. But he chose in this moment to cry out the lamenting opening of Psalm 22. And he used Psalm 22 as his final words in Mark's account. If you go back and read the Psalm, it speaks of people mocking and wagging their heads. It talks about bones that are out of joint and strength that has been dried up. It talks about pierced hands and feet and dogs surrounding or encompassing him. It speaks of garments being divided. These were the words, not only in Jesus' mind, but now played out in his experience as he breathes his very last breath. We certainly don't know the theology behind the cross. There's so much mystery that is here. But what we do know is that Jesus suffered anguish physically, but he suffered anguish beyond just the physical. He would endure this pain without any sort of relief, and we know it is because he was bearing the weight and the burden of our sin He was drinking the cup of God's wrath. He was satisfying the just demands of a holy God. In short, he saved us, his people, from sin and death through this sacrifice. One author wrote that the only path by which to save others was to refuse to save himself. You see, he wasn't just a king, but he was also our Savior. The final message that we see here is this, and that is the proclamation of the centurion. Verse 39, and this is remarkable, it says this, "And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly this man was the Son of God.'" Now, as a Roman centurion, there is no doubt in my mind that this man would have seen countless crucifixions in his life and in his service. Year after year, criminal after criminal, death after death, and yet he recognized that this one was different. The gospel tells us that the afternoon was shrouded in darkness. It tells us about an earthquake that had happened in the area. And yet it wasn't those things, those remarkable things, that made the centurion proclaim this. Instead, it tells us it was the way that he had breathed his last. Luke tells us that the centurion declared, "Surely this man was a righteous man," but Mark uses the words of the centurion to say this, "Truly this man was the Son of God." This is a remarkable statement for a Roman centurion. He was actually the first one in all of Mark's Gospels to make this proclamation. And his story was that he had trained to be a soldier, a good Roman soldier, and they were trained to know that the emperor whom they served was a deity. In fact, they would use that term, Son of God, exclusively for the emperor. So for the centurion to say this about anyone else was pure treason on his part. And yet this battle-hardened man looked deep into the eyes of this man who hung on the cross, a man who he'd never met before. He saw the crowns of thorns on his head and the nail-pierced hands. He saw the labored breathing. He heard the mocks and the jeers. He stood there while Jesus breathed his last breath, and he declared that this is the Son of God. He is Lord above all lords. You see, he wasn't just a king. He wasn't just a savior. He was Lord, the Son of God. So the question for us all tonight as we approach this scene of anguish and pain and trauma, as we look at Jesus this Good Friday, who do you see? Maybe you're looking at him at the cross for the very first time, or maybe you've heard this story from the time you were very little, but as you look at him on the cross tonight, what do you see? Because after all, he is the King of Kings, the Savior of our souls, the Son of God. May we all, like that centurion, look with fresh eyes at the cross, realizing that his sacrifice that day changes everything. May we see the great love that required such a great cost, and may we marvel at the goodness of our God. Let's pray.